Work started over the weekend to identify the cause of employee health problems in one section of the Alaska Department of Labor building here in Juneau. State Chief Procurement Officer Vern Jones says the facility's private owner, Juneau One LLC, has hired Anchorage-based Auburn Construction to look for any mold hiding behind the walls in room 210, which is the site of several employee concerns.
There actually hasn't been anything specifically found, but there have been ongoing complaints and issues reported by employees there. So it's been agreed to between the state and the lessor to open up the walls, take a look, see what's there, if there's anything there that shouldn't be, to repair and remediate as necessary.
Jones says Juneau-based environmental engineering firm Carson Dorn will test any organic growth found during the work. He says the landlord has not yet agreed to upgrade the building's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, or HVAC system, also believed to be causing the employee symptoms.
There have been discussions with the building owner about repairs to the HVAC units. They're older, and the lessor tells us they need to be replaced.
Air quality testing performed by state hired consultants late last year and in January showed trace amounts of organic material, such as mold spores, in the building, but nothing that would explain the health problems experienced by many workers. Carbon dioxide tests also came back at levels deemed safe by experts. Jones says the state is awaiting further tests on particulate matter from the HVAC units.
Folks there reported some black substance coming out of the HVAC system. It's more than likely some wear or component in the HVAC system that's coming out the venting.
The labor building has been blamed for workers' allergy and asthma-like symptoms for the last 5 years. Previous remediation efforts, which included new siding, new windows, and replacement of water-damaged carpet, have done nothing to cure the problems. Labor Department spokeswoman Beth Lepsper says about 10 employees from the Division of Employment Security will be temporarily moved to the Wild Meadow Job Service building in the Mendenhall Valley during the latest round of the work.
We had some space available in that building, and what we're trying to do is keep our teams together as much as possible so that this remediation work does not impact our ability to provide services to our clients.
The work is expected to take as much as 8 weeks, and during construction, room 210 will be sealed off from the rest of the building to keep any mold, spores, or other particulates from spreading. Jones says the state and the building's owner continue to work with a mediator on terms of a new lease for the facility. He declined to discuss details of those negotiations, citing a confidentiality agreement. First version of an oil tax reform bill has passed out of its first committee, Senate Resources, and will now head on over to the Senate Finance Committee. After 19 hearings getting input from oil companies, consultants, and the Parnell administration, the committee proposed changing the state's current tax structure, making concessions to the oil industry that were less than what the governor proposed last year. Kenai Republican Tom Wagner objected, saying the bill did not consider or meet the Senate majority's own goals.
The Senate Bipartisan Working Group issued a statement saying that we want three things: increased oil production, and these are three things out of this bill: increased oil production, more jobs for Alaskans, sustainable state revenue over the long term. I don't think this bill does any of the above.
The new plan reduces the progressive tax rate that varies depending on the market price of oil, and it gives a bonus or allowance for taxes on oil from newly developed wells. For those concessions to the oil industry, the Senate plan would increase taxes at the bottom of the price spectrum to give a floor for the state to count on. It also separates or decouples oil and gas taxes, and it sets up a system for oil companies to share information that is already in the public domain. Anchorage Democrat Hollis French said the bill makes major fiscal concessions to the oil industry, and he sees oil company opposition as only negotiating points.
The focus of this bill as it moves forward is going to be about new oil. Every single person in this room is completely united around the idea that we have to have more oil in the pipeline. There's not a single person in this room today who thinks we should not have more new oil in that pipeline. And I think in that idea, we can move forward.
The bill will be heard in the Senate Finance Committee after members return from the mid-session break they are taking to attend energy-related meetings in Washington, D.C. Lockheed Martin has chosen the Kodiak Launch Complex for West Coast launches of its proposed Athena 3 rocket. Friday's announcement comes as lawmakers are debating the merits of funding Alaska Aerospace, which operates the Kodiak Launch Facility. Jennifer Canfield has more on the story.
In an interview last March with KMXT, Alaska Aerospace Chief Operating Officer Craig Campbell predicted that an increase in the market for small and medium lift launch operations would be advantageous for the corporation.
That's where a significant majority of the market's going to go. And so when we have the customer that says, yes, we're prepared to launch from Alaska with the facilities there, then we'll be looking for a capital request for facilities.
And now that customer is Lockheed Martin. In order for the Kodiak Launch Complex to accommodate the Athena 3, Lockheed Martin and Alaska Aerospace are seeking $100 million in financing to expand Kodiak's facility to have medium lift launch capability. Governor Sean Parnell said Friday that he'll submit a capital budget request for $25 million from the legislature toward the cost of expansion. That's in addition to the $8 million in operational expenses they're currently seeking. Last spring, Alaska Aerospace released a report that said the corporation could generate $250 million annually in direct and indirect economic impacts by 2018. Alaska Aerospace Chief Executive Officer Dale Nash says the investment could be a generational win.
We see this as a strong opportunity to see if the medium lift market pans out. And if it does, we will be launching rockets with the capability up to four times of what we do right now. It certainly will bring jobs, and it will bring other corporations in, and it has the potential to make a 20-25 year run with major launch vehicles. That's about the lifespan of the major launch vehicles as you look back in history.
But the announcement doesn't hold much sway with Kodiak Representative Alan Osterman, who is also a non-voting member of the Alaska Aerospace Board. The partnership wasn't news to Osterman, who, during a press conference last week, said the board was discussing shutting down or selling off the corporation if a significant contract was not secured this year. The facility made only one launch last year. Osterman says that he won't be more supportive without a definite contract.
The announcement that they made is that Lockheed wants to come to Alaska. Lockheed wants to launch out of there. And the whole issue of whether they've got the actual customers for their payloads and those things are still being worked out.
Lockheed Martin's Athena program manager, Al Simpson, is optimistic about bringing the rocket to Kodiak.
The opportunity is very exciting because when we start working industrial base and looking for supply chain, one of the things we've been talking about is we will do that in Alaska. That's that economic footprint that I think is very important for the state, and it also works the diversification, into an aerospace and defense kind of sector. So those are all key elements of what we're planning on doing going forward.
If all goes as planned, the Athena 3 could be launching from Kodiak's facility as soon as 2014. In Kodiak, I'm Jennifer Canfield.
Representative Carl Gatto expects to be back in Juneau for the last month of the session after undergoing radiation treatment for tumors. Gatto, who has prostate cancer, said Friday he's had 7 radiation treatments so far. He expects to complete his radiation by Wednesday, and then he plans to join other state lawmakers in Washington, D.C. for a conference of the Energy Council. After that, he expects to return to Juneau for the rest of the session. The Palmer Republican says he feels good, health-wise, but awful about missing parts of the session. He says he's been in regular contact with his office and was watching a Senate committee's action on an oil tax bill on TV when he was reached by a reporter on Friday.